Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by...
We're going abroad for the first time in years. To Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Hi, I'm Jade, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit is the savoriness of the sausage, the fluffiness of the egg, and the butteriness of the biscuit. It's amazing. The perfect start to my day.
Hi, everyone. It's Justin. A little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit is the fluffy egg, the melted cheese, and the sizzling sausage. It's the start to your morning that you didn't know you need.
Order a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit and Simply Orange Juice on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg has requested a gag order for Donald Trump's upcoming hush money case. It's to prevent the former president from disclosing personal information about jurors. Yes, it was wrong, but there was no ill intent. That from the Pentagon about Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's delay in letting the White House and others know about his cancer diagnosis and that he would be hospitalized.
The review found that the deputy secretary was at all times positioned to perform all the functions and duties of the Secretary of Defense during the period of transfer from January 2 through 5, 2024. It also identified several process and procedural improvements that could be made.
Pentagon spokesman Major General Pat Ryder. The Supreme Court today heard arguments for and against laws in Texas and in Florida that prohibit social media companies from censoring political speech, specifically conservative. This is ABC News. A surprise gift for students at a New York medical school. From here on out, they won't pay anything to attend.
95-year-old Ruth Gottesman's late husband was one of the first investors in Berkshire Hathaway. And as a result, he made a lot of money. This week, Dr. Gottesman donated $1 billion to Albert Einstein College of Medicine in the Bronx. The gift, believed to be the largest ever donated to a medical school, means that tuition will be absolutely free from now on. One stipulation, quite unusual for a gift this large, that the school not change its name. Dr. Gottesman says you just can't beat Albert Einstein. Sherry Preston, ABC News, New York.
Inflation is changing the way we shop. A study by economists at Ernst & Young find that at the grocery store, for example, consumers are shifting away from name brands and they're going to store brands, or they're just buying fewer non-essentials like snacks or gourmet foods. We're also buying more used cars rather than new. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Ever wonder what's around the next corner? Past the trees. Into the canyons. Over the mountains. Or through the desert. That's where adventure lives. Take a Nissan SUV and go find it.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralask brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralask pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. 41-year-old South Milwaukee man was shot and killed after a possible road rage incident Saturday evening in Cudahy. Police there say a preliminary investigation indicates the man was involved in a conflict with another driver. The conflict grew when witnesses say the car stopped and the victim got out of his car and confronted the suspect. When police responded to the incident, the victim of the shooting died at the scene despite life-saving measures. It's not clear if the suspect and victim knew one another. The suspect drove off and has not been located as the investigation into the incident continues. One person was killed. Several were injured in a shooting Sunday afternoon on Milwaukee's west side. Police say a 21-year-old woman died at the scene from a gunshot wound despite life-saving measures. An unidentified man and a 28-year-old were taken to the hospital for life-threatening gunshot injuries, while a 23-year-old was also hospitalized for non-fatal wounds from the shooting. The motive for it appears to be domestic violence-related, connected to a fight. That's according to police. The three wounded and hospitalized from the incident were taken into custody, as was a 25-year-old. Police are looking for more persons of interest connected to the matter. Two people were wounded after a Saturday night shooting outside a West Allis roller skating rink. It all started with a fight between two mothers at a birthday party at Incredirole Skate and Family Fun Center. Reports say pepper spray was used by one of the women involved in the fight. After the security team at the rink escorted the instigator of the fight out of the rink, the 32-year-old Milwaukee woman drove away, but she returned and began shooting at the security team. The gunfire hit a 44-year-old security officer in the leg and a 14-year-old boy in the foot. Police say neither of the victims of the shooting were involved in the fight that led to the gunfire. The woman's vehicle was spotted by Milwaukee police, who took her into custody and turned her over to West Allis officers. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Wildly warm for winter as winds whip out of the south, gusting up to 30 miles per hour, surging our highs under sunny skies into the mid-60s, breaking record daily highs. The heat's on repeat for tomorrow, too, before the storm strikes. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
Joining us, I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Today's program brought to you by Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions, they aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium Diesel to keep you going. Learn more. Find your nearest Cenex location or visit Cenex.com. Again, that premium diesel to keep you going, brought to you by Cenex. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk weather with DTN meteorologist John Baranek here in segment two and get his thoughts on what we are watching. Maybe a few different chances for precipitation this week across the U.S. Also, coming up in segment three, just to hear on Monday morning, the National Potato Council releasing a new study. We're going to talk about the economic impact of potatoes and more with Cam Corals from the National Potato Council. He's going to join us coming up after the bottom of the hour in segment three today. And we'll also get a look at news headlines coming up here at the end of the show. First up, though, let's take a look at what is happening in the markets. Joining us for conversation, Bar Chart Senior Market Analyst Darren Newsome. Darren, great to have you back on the show with us here today. And, you know, soybeans are trying a little bit to rally here early Monday morning. But overall, I'm with you. Your morning commentary put it well. I think a lot of folks maybe taking a look at the quote screen on Monday morning as they sip their coffee and turning it back off because especially corn, just not looking very good here to start the week, is it, Darren?
No, it's not. There's a lot of, you know, follow through selling from last week. And, you know, basically the trends haven't changed. And what we do see popping up every once in a while, as you mentioned, in the soybean market, we saw it a couple times overnight. There looks to be a little bit of commercial interest out there. And it's not surprising, given how low the cash market has come, that maybe we are making some sales in here. We haven't seen anything show up, but we need to watch like the weekly export sales and shipments update. That being said, last Friday's, it was delayed a day because of the holiday a week ago, but last week's update showed that total sales of U.S. soybeans still running 20% behind last year. Some of this is due to tighter supplies, but also because of Brazil's larger supplies, larger crop. So there's a lot of things going on. The bottom line is, you know, right now, the trends are down. We've got funds selling. They went to a new record large net short futures position in corn. They continue to put pressure on soybeans and so on. There's just not a lot of bullish enthusiasm at this time.
Well, and I, in terms of this spot corn contract, you know, getting below four, I wonder, Darren, and I know you're watching the CFTC funds and those short positions and the legacy futures here and more, you know, I think the market's probably looking for some sort of a final flush, so to speak. But fundamentally right now, I don't see any reason that's going to change that bearish tide in these markets to maybe cause some sort of a final flush here in this window. What do you think, Darren?
No, you're exactly right, Jesse. I mean, the funds, they're not afraid of the fundamentals at this point, because we know, we can tell by the cash market and basis that there's plenty of corn not only out there, but starting to make its way to town. The weather's going to be spring-like here over the last week of February, heading into early March. And, you know, folks are just throwing in the towel. And so we are going to see more corn coming to town. We've got planting season coming up in 30-some-odd days. So I think you're going to see a good amount of on-farm corn moving to town. That's going to put pressure on not only the cash market, but basis. And it's going to be weighing on the futures market as well. You know, as you said, we've broken below four. Corn likes round numbers. Obviously, that opens the door to 390. And, you know, and just keeps, you know, keeps building on itself.
Darren, it's been a little while since we've talked about the wheat markets. And I know some folks have said to me in passing that they are maybe watching to see wheat potentially be our a leader to the upside, so to speak, here in these grains. Eventually, maybe, possibly, I put a strong caveat on that. But what are you seeing right now in these wheat markets across all three classes, Darren?
I tell you what, if it gets to the point where wheat is the leader, that's not necessarily a road that I want to follow down. Wheat is a very very erratic market, a sector, let me put it that way. And as we look at the three, I mean, yes, we've seen some interesting activity, but what's happened here is mostly it's been some non-commercial short covering, particularly in the Chicago market. And so it has skewed what we think that we see happening in this market. Now, if we look out to the May, we still see that's under pressure. New crop July, Chicago has not gone to a new contract low yet, but new crop Kansas City did overnight. It did hit a new contract low. So, you know, if we read those signals, it tells us that there's still pressure in wheat. They're still looking at a better production this year. You know, much of the Southern Plains is not in drought for the first time in who knows how many years. So now we'll see how the rest of the year plays out, you know, with the weather and potential production. But at this point, I wouldn't want wheat being the leader of the grains sector.
Darren, you had a great column over the weekend as well. You mentioned the term hold and hope. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that pretty, as you allude to as well, and I would agree, it's pretty ugly strategy, but is it something that some folks maybe need to think about and take a look at here in this window? What do you think, Darren?
It's not my favorite strategy. Hasn't been my favorite strategy for 30 some odd years. I don't like anything that includes the word hope, but that's what we see a lot of, and that's what we've seen a lot of. You could almost counter that argument. Just go ahead and sell it. You know, stop the bleeding right now, because this market still has some room to the downside. So throw in the towel. And then if the market changes, there's going to be some opportunities to do something else. We can change our position accordingly. But, you know, as we watch it grind down, particularly in the corn market every day, and the threat of basis starting to weaken as well, as more grain comes to town, I think it's a very dangerous strategy that so many people are out there promoting, is to hold and hope. I think it's a very dangerous strategy at this point.
Darren, real quick, cattle markets as well, no doubt reacting to what some are saying was maybe a little negative cattle on feed report on Friday. Your thoughts there?
You know, the cattle on feed numbers were as of February 1st. So, you know, I know folks get excited about that, but they're a month old upon release. There really wasn't anything too surprising. In fact, it pretty much fit with spreads and basis activity and cash activity that we saw during January. What we are seeing is that these markets did get a bit ahead of themselves. They've been up for quite a while. They look like they were vulnerable to a sell-off, a little bit of room to the downside, not really tied to cattle on feed.
All right. Well, we'll continue to watch these markets as we go throughout the week. And We'll keep an eye on where things stand. Darren Newsom, senior market analyst at Bar Chart. Darren, it's always good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us here this on AOA today, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right. Thanks again for having me on, Jesse.
Darren Newsom there with Bar Chart joining us here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Not all grease is created equal. Cenex premium greases are made with high quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Learn more at Cenex.com. All right, coming up next, looking like we got a few chances at precipitation this week ahead here across the country. We're going to get the details with DTN meteorologist John Baranek. He joins us on the way after this. Back with more here on AOA right after the break. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
When it comes to cereal disease protection, Prosaro Pro 400 SC fungicide from Bayer makes all the difference. With three effective active ingredients for overlapping control of foliar and head diseases, and a flexible application window for head scab, it's formulated to lower DON, protect yield potential, and promote superior grain quality. Prosaro Pro. The future of plant health starts here. Visit ProsaroPro.com to learn more. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, we've been seeing temperatures remain unseasonably warm for this time of year across much of the country, especially east of the Rocky Mountains. Are we going to see some changes to that here this week ahead? Are we going to see some chances for precipitation? That's something we're going to take a look at here right now on AOA, brought to you today by Cenex. Downtime's a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more at Cenex.com. Joining us now for a look at the weather forecast, DTN meteorologist John Baranek is with us. John, good to catch up with you. Thanks for joining us. And as I was mentioning, it's been pretty warm, but sounds like we might see some shifts to that weather pattern, at least briefly here as we go through this week, John.
Yeah, Jesse, we're going to be looking at some real springtime weather. You know, we get into meteorological spring here at the end of the week on Friday, and boy, it's going to feel like it. We've got, just wild swings in temperatures, all different types of precipitation types and amounts, and severe thunderstorms and strong winds, and you know, just everything in between. It's really going to feel like one of those transition periods, and at least for the next 2 weeks here. So, I mean, as we're talking here today, we've already got temperatures that are nearing some record highs here for Monday. We're going to hit 60 all the way up into Minneapolis in the South Dakota here today. But we've got this huge cold front going through kind of the Canadian prairies and the Pacific Northwest right now. It's going to flush all that warmth out. It's going to be brief, but it will be a significant drop in temperatures as that thing goes racing through the country over the next couple of days. We'll see, drops in temperatures a good 30 to 40 degrees from where we have them for today. So it's a pretty strong cold front, and it's going to come with some areas of precipitation too. I mean, we're going to see some snow in the northern plains. Kind of a heavy band looks like it'll form over North Dakota into northern Minnesota for tonight and Tuesday. Otherwise, any snow that's formed with it's probably pretty light, like around an inch or less. But we'll also see thunderstorms developing out ahead of that in the eastern Midwest tomorrow. Some of those could be severe. The Storm Prediction Center right now has a slight risk out, but they might bump that up tomorrow. We'll see how that all works out, but everything's going to be possible with that. Hail is probably the most likely, large hail is probably the most likely form of severe weather for tomorrow, but strong winds, tornadoes can't be ruled out either as this moves across the eastern half of the Midwest. And like I said, those winds and temperatures will, the winds will pick up and the temperatures will drop quite significantly behind that. But it's only a day's worth. It's kind of wild. I mean, if you look at your local forecast, you'll see that coming in tomorrow and or Wednesday, just depending on where you are in the country. Super sharp drop in temperatures. And then a day or so later, they pop right back up. And so your forecast there is going to look kind of wild as we go throughout the week.
Well, John, that old term, March coming in like a lion, going out like a lamb, kind of sounds like we're getting a slightly early start to that here with some of this early week precipitation and more. But, as I was kind of looking through the weather forecast too, out ahead of what we're going to see here the early part of this week, it looks like maybe some more impulses by the weekend into next week as well. So it kind of feels like we're starting up a train of precipitation here, so to speak, John.
It sure feels like that, at least stronger storm systems. Even later this week, we get this little one to kind of cruise across the southern tier of the country Thursday through the weekend with some showers down there, some thunderstorms closer to the Gulf of Mexico. But, that's not really going to be a huge talking point. What will be is another large storm system moving into the west here this weekend and then cruising across the country next week. And kind of like the first one, we're going to see kind of widespread precipitation. This one will turn out differently than the one this week. But we can expect widespread precipitation, multiple precipitation types, strong winds, thunderstorms, potential for severe weather, and a nice sharp drop in temperatures again. What's different about this one is that we don't pop those temperatures right back up again quite so quickly later next week. At least that's the forecast for right now. We'll see how that holds up. We know how spring goes. When we get these kind of wild reactions in the atmosphere, we see large temperature swings kind of happen out of nowhere. And this is a good month to make us meteorologists look stupid with our forecast.
Well, John, thinking about you brought up severe weather, and something that I've noticed here over the last couple of years, as we go through January, February, et cetera, it feels like we have some earlier rounds of severe weather outbreaks that have been happening in recent years. With some of these systems coming through the next week or two, and you kind of alluded to this a little bit ago, are we expecting widespread, large, severe weather outbreaks possibly here with any of these systems, John?
I wouldn't call them super intense or widespread outbreaks with them. The one for tomorrow across kind of, it's really going to be from Illinois into southern Michigan, that kind of general area for tomorrow. So it's not super widespread, but, it does come with a significant risk early on in the season. We usually don't talk about that until, you know, mid-March or early April, getting that far north. And even the storm system for, you know, Sunday, Monday of next week, that could be farther north. That could be Iowa into Minnesota potentially. With some of the severe weather. So, yeah, I mean, it does seem like it's coming earlier, but, you know, we've had outbreaks and years ago get this far north. It's just, you know, we forget about them, right? I mean, when it happens 20, 30 years ago, we just don't remember them. So we think it's kind of a little bit more out of the ordinary than it actually is. But it's not like it's super, you know, common to get thunderstorms into Minnesota at the end of February or early March. It just, you know, it's not very typical, and getting that to be severe obviously isn't either, but it's not like it hasn't happened before.
Definitely. Okay. Well, I appreciate the thoughts on that. It was just a general thing I was kind of thinking about here, John. I know too, with all this, these precipitation events coming through, rain, snow, et cetera, I know we're keeping a close eye on subsoil moisture and things like that as we get ready for spring planting season. Does it look like some of this precipitation could maybe help some of those dry areas in parts of the Midwest here this week and into next?
I think so, some. You know, but we do have the winds, too, that will be roaring with it as well. And not just on the backside when the cold is coming in, but also on the front side when the warm is returning. And so, you know, winds tend to dry out the soil moisture as well, especially on that top layer. And if you look at the National Weather Service site this morning, you'll see a whole bunch of red across the middle of the country with some fire risks in there. So we'll be having to watch with that. But, you know, whenever we get some precipitation, it's good news, you know, because we're going to need that when we get into, you know, planting season here, and that's not coming up. That's coming up pretty quickly here for some folks across the South. You know, in just a couple of weeks, probably they'll get started. So that's something that's definitely on our minds. And you know, the central Midwest, where we have kind of the biggest pocket of dryness right now, right around Iowa into Wisconsin. We're hoping that the month of March stays pretty active. It does look like it will. And hopefully that'll build up some soil moisture and reduce whatever long-term deficits and drought we have in the region. But we're gonna need it to be active. So the good news is that it looks active. Just how active it will be, and you know how much precipitation that means for these areas, whether we can build enough soil moisture without getting too flooded in some areas is another thing to talk about. I mean, just the spring is just a wild time period to be going through, and we'll be talking about it every week here.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Real quick, got about a minute. South America, any notes, what you're watching in Brazil and Argentina here this week, John?
Yeah, the rain's pretty benign this week. I mean, we've got some more isolated showers in central Brazil, which will help them kind of do their field work and plant their safrinha corn. But they'll be picking up some more widespread showers, it looks like, this weekend. So everything's going pretty decently for them there in the central part of the country. Southern Brazil and northern Argentina get some pretty heavy rain over the next few days. That'll help them out. And then southern Argentina is a little bit drier. They would probably prefer a little bit more rainfall, but they've got some little isolated things going through all week long. So it's not like it's going to be super dry there. So if you kind of add up a whole 7-day total around there, looks pretty decent across most of South America. No real glaring dry spots to talk about. And, you know, some areas that have been dry are getting some rain. So that'll be good for them.
Well, we'll keep our eyes on that as we move through the week and get ready to enter into the month of March. And I know folks can stay up to date with the latest weather forecasts and more, and the work from John and the DTN meteorological team. Just go to dtnpf.com. John Baranek, DTN meteorologist. Thanks for joining us, John. Appreciate it. And maybe we'll see you this week at Commodity Classic. I know you're going to be at Houston, Texas, speaking on Friday, correct?
That's right. I'll be speaking early Friday morning. I think it's at 8:30 Central Time. So if you're around and I'd love to come. I'd love for you to come in and chat with us. We'll have a good talk there about what's expected over the rest of the 2024 season.
Well, we'll look forward to it, John. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right, DTN's John Baranek. Coming up here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. We're going to talk with Cam Corals from the National Potato Council on the way next here on AOA. Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss. Are you heading to Commodity Classic? Stop by AGI booth 3403 for some exciting live radio. This is Jesse Allen. I'll be broadcasting AOA live on Thursday from 9 to 10 a.m. We'll be discussing all things grain and digital, from bins and bin monitoring to data and dryers. That's Thursday from AGI booth 3403 from 9 to 10 a.m. at Commodity Classic in Houston, Texas.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, March milk up 29 to 1760, April up 18 to 1803, May and June up 10, May at 1826, June at 1862. Live cattle markets were mostly higher on the day as boxed beef prices continued to move higher. That's helping to support the live cattle markets. Feeder cattle markets, though, they were mostly lower as traders continue to trade off of the cattle on feed report, which, while cattle on feed was lower, not as low as expected. Meanwhile, hog complex was mostly mixed on the day. Now, the nearby contracts were lower. Deferred months mostly higher on continued expectations of increasing demand here in the summer. February live cattle up 12 cents to 185.72. March feeder cattle down $1.52 to 253.05. April hogs down 92 cents to 86.27. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets mostly higher. Export sales were stronger at 1.242 million metric tons. Soybeans also mostly higher in the nearby months. Again, the export inspections report at 974,000 metric tons. Wheat markets higher due to weakness in the dollar. New crop corn up 7.5 to 457. Now, new crop beans were down a half at 1129 and three quarters. Chicago wheat, March up 3.75 to 577 and a quarter. With markets, I'm Brian Winnekins.
Not everyone can fix their own car or a leaky pipe. So what do? Call an expert. And if daily finances for you or a family member have become too much of a burden, call Rhonda at Numbers R Us. Whether it's an older loved one, member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Numbers R Us takes care of all the bills, deposits, and payments, and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Contact Rhonda at NumbersRUs.com.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Elsevia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Elsevia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Extreme cold temperatures put your vehicles to the test. Cenex premium lubricants are made with quality ingredients to keep you going. Learn more online at Cenex.com or find your nearest Cenex location. Well, the National Potato Council has released a new report on the economic potential of U.S. potato exports, and also they are gearing up to host their Washington Summit this week. We're going to talk about all that and more right now on AOA. Joining us, National Potato Council CEO Cam Corrals is with us. Cam, it's good to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us today.
Jesse, happy Monday. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start first. I know we got plenty to talk about in terms of this week's Washington summit, but this brand new report just released on Monday morning, looking at that economic potential of U.S. potato exports. Can you give us some of the highlights of the rundown of what was found with this new NPC report?
Yeah, absolutely. So you might remember a year ago, Michigan State did a study for us that looked at the entirety of the potato industry's value chain. It found that roughly $10 billion is generated at farm gate. This year, we asked them to look at what is the channel of the segment of our business related to exports. What does that mean for the United States? And they found that this wasn't a surprise to us, that about $2 billion of that $10 billion goes overseas in some form. And that was kind of a rule of thumb for us. About 20% of all potatoes grown in the United States have got to find a home in foreign markets. But the value of those exports to the country right now is roughly $4.8 billion a year. And even better, they support roughly 34,000 jobs in the United States, just the exports that go from the potato industry. And then we asked Michigan State to do something. I said, how much could that grow, Jesse, if we got access to some of these markets that you and I have talked about, like getting into Japan? What would that mean for us? And the economists there assessed that would add an additional $1 billion a year and over 5,000 additional jobs. If we could get Japan open to fresh exports, if we could increase fully build out our Mexico market, get expanded access to South Korea and Vietnam and these other opportunities that are around the country. So really kind of eye-opening and focuses specifically just on the value of exports to the United States that are generated on America's family potato farms.
Well, and I know, as you mentioned, we've talked about some of those markets before here on the show, and I would say, you know, no trade deal or market expansion is easy, but I feel like some of those markets, the work that NPC's already been doing, they're fairly achievable expansions into those markets like Japan with fresh potatoes, et cetera, isn't it, Cam?
Yeah, I think you're right. None of these are pie in the sky. We can absolutely get Japan open. We're already shipping fresh potatoes that go to their chip market. We're already shipping those today. The opportunities to ship fresh table stock, what we call the table stock, which would end up in grocery stores or on at restaurants, that is a very achievable goal, but for the politics associated with it. It is obviously tremendously frustrating to us to have some of these trade impediments that are out there that prevent us from generating that additional $1 billion and all those jobs. But I think with the right amount of political support and technical support, we can get there.
Well, thinking of politics and more, Cam, let's turn our attention to the Washington summit you guys have this week. And I know you have a great amount of growers and industry partners who have flown in to talk policy and more. And I know, of course, Farm Bill, we continue to watch a lack of a new Farm Bill right now and trying to figure that out. Cam, I'm sure that's going to be one of the big topics for you guys this week.
Yeah, it absolutely is. We've obviously committed a lot of time to trying to get a new Farm Bill in. And, you know, there's for all of the things that the Farm Bill does, exports, trade promotion, USDA trade dollars, that's a portion of the Farm Bill. You've got research and pest and disease exclusion, all of these things are embedded in that fundamental U.S. farm policy document. Whether or not we can get that to the finish line, Jesse, you and I were talking earlier and trying to see if the government stays open beyond the end of this week is that's the first challenge out there. And then trying to deliver a farm bill, I guess that's another order of magnitude. But we're obviously going to be advocating for both things to happen this week. We would We would love to see USDA keep functioning past Friday, and we'd love to see a new farm bill for the next 5 years.
Well, and thinking about trying to get a farm bill done, and with the Washington summit this week, what are some things that the Potato Council, you guys are going to be able to do? Are you going to have opportunities to talk with lawmakers this week and things like that to talk about some of your priorities, like a new farm bill and other aspects? I mean, walk us through what are some of the things that are going to happen this week there in D.C., Cam?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we tell our growers every single year, Jesse, is, you know, regardless of kind of the swirling chaos around the political, you know, drama that captures D.C. every day, there's a lot of fundamental work that goes on behind the scenes. And certainly farmers aren't taking a day off. The potato industry isn't taking a day off. So advancing things like dealing with regulations associated with the Environmental Protection Agency, trying to get adequate agricultural labor to U.S. farms. Clearly, we already talked about trade deals. Just, you know, having if the government can get to an appropriations bill for this fiscal year, embedded within that is agricultural research for the potato industry that's going to provide benefits 5, 10, 20 years down the line. We don't want to see those programs fall off the table because of political drama. So we're doing all of that stuff. It might not be the type of things that end up in press conferences on, you know, CNN or Fox News or whatever, but it's really fundamental to making sure this great industry keeps working.
Well, Cam, thinking about the farm bill and all the different aspects that go into it, nutrition aspects and more, we've talked about this before with the presidential calendar ticking in front of us here as well and appropriations still needing to happen. I guess, is it something to where getting it done correctly is more important than getting it done this year? Do we have to kick the can down the road again for another year? Or do you think there's still a window to get this thing done ahead of the presidential election, Cam?
You have asked a literally over a $1 trillion question there, Jesse. I think there is an opportunity to get it done this year, whether or not it occurs before the presidential. You still have a runway past the election in November where you could get it done this year. I continue to be an optimist that we can deliver that. But to your first question, getting the right policy is vastly better than getting a fragmented policy just for the sake of meeting a deadline. I think everybody, you know, the folks we compete against around the world, they're putting their best policies forward to try to take markets away from us. And we as Americans need to demand the best from our government to make sure that we can compete against those foreign interests. So I think it's worth the time to get it right.
Well, not to throw a loaded question at you there, Cam, but I appreciate the thoughts on that one for sure. You mentioned ag labor in there too a little bit, and I know there's been a lot of talks about reforms to the H-2A visa program, for instance, things like that, trying to find that specialty crop industries, for instance, such as potatoes. Do you think, though, that ag labor is an issue that might have to get decided all on its own? I'm guessing it's probably not something that can get wrapped up in a farm bill per se because of just the nuances there. What do you think, Cam?
Well, I mean, we're looking at any possible vehicle that can move that issue forward. I will tell you, and I don't exactly think this is breaking news for you, Jesse. You probably figured this out all on your own, that the border crisis has not helped that issue very much. But, you know, you got to recognize, you mentioned the H-2A program. That program, as much as growers are trying to make it work, that program is, you know, it's got some fundamental flaws in it, and it absolutely needs to be reformed. A lot of listeners know this, but maybe some don't. The federal government, for the H-2A program, the federal government sets a mandatory minimum wage every single year, and sometimes that wage goes up by 15 to 20%. Right in the middle of folks' production cycles. And how you manage a business when you don't know what your labor costs are going to be, When the federal government, the Department of Labor, just airdrops a new wage onto you, that's really challenging amongst all the other burdens that that program has. We've got to get to a reformed H-2A program. The notion by individuals that it's simply a case where farmers need to more diligently use that program is laughable. It is a broken, flawed program, and we've got to have something that's competitive. And if the Farm Bill can deliver that, that's great. We'll take any opportunity that we can. The Farm Bill obviously has a lot of funding challenges right now, so that would be adding another challenge to it. But again, we've got to look at every opportunity to advance the ag labor issue.
Definitely. Well, folks can find the new economic report as well, nationalpotatocouncil.org/SpudNation. NPC CEO Cam Quarles. Cam, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us on AOA today.
Good to be with you, Jesse. Thank you.
All right, for the next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. We'll take a look at news headlines on the way right after the break.
Ew. Gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the name brands. Add up to 95% off. That's right. Get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but for 95% less. It's the same medication, still prescribed by a licensed medical provider, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA Agriculture of America. The show today brought to you by Cenex. Cenex can help you determine the right high-quality premium lubricants to keep equipment protected for the long haul. Trust your local experts at Cenex, or you can visit cenex.com for more information. Well, let's take a look at some news headlines here before we wrap up our program today. And Summit Carbon Solutions CEO Lee Blank was pretty blunt in his assessment of where things stand on the development of the Midwest Carbon Express CO2 pipeline during the National Ethanol Conference last week in San Diego, California. According to a DTN article from Todd Neely, although regulatory disputes and opposition from environmental groups recently took down Summit's competition in Navigator CO2, Blank said his company's own ongoing battles have stiffened resolve to build the carbon pipeline across Iowa, South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, and Nebraska. Blank laid out where the company stands on permitting battles in each state, as well as the nature of the continued opposition to the pipeline project. Now, Blank told ethanol producers and farmers during a panel discussion on Tuesday, quote, If you see the project and you support the project, it's no time to be meek and it's no time to be mild. Now is the time because we're right up against these permits, we're right up against legislation, and now is the time that if we want this project to be completed, then we believe it's really good for the industry. And I think we all know now is the time. This will not happen again. No one will take this on to try and take these hurdles on this again and spend a lot of money, hit these political environments, utility commissions that have made it very, very difficult. Now is the time, end quote. Now, the project is becoming an easier sell to farmer landowners and others in rural America, he said. The ethanol industry is expected to play a large role as a feedstock provider in the production of sustainable aviation fuel, so long as the ethanol industry can improve its carbon intensity score. That's why carbon capture and storage is important. Now, there is potential for another wave of economic expansion in rural communities similar to the early days of the renewable fuel standard starting in 2005. If ethanol producers can become part of the SAF expansion. Now, Blank said that opportunity is why Summit continues to press forward, saying, quote, it really has just hardened our attitude towards accomplishing this project, end quote. Now, Blank said the company plans to begin construction in early 2025 with operations launching in early 2026. If completed, the pipeline would connect to 51 ethanol plants and provide a lift to the ethanol industry's prospects of being a part of sustainable aviation fuel production. Now, in Iowa, Blank said he anticipates a decision coming from the Iowa Utilities Board on the company's permit application sometime this first quarter. Summit has acquired about 75% of the right-of-way needed in the state. After the North Dakota Public Service Commission denied Summit's permit application, the company completed reroutes in three different counties. In South Dakota, the state's Public Utilities Commission rejected Summit's permit application last fall. The PUC said back in September the proposed pipeline route had conflicts with county guidelines on setbacks and other issues. In Nebraska this past week, the Stanton County Board denied a conditional use permit request from Summit as well. Now, the rest of the article from DTN goes into more detail. Blank also said that it was a, quote, very loud minority, end quote, of people expressing opposition to the project. The focus of the opposition, he said, keeps evolving as the company addresses concerns raised. Again, that article from DTN's Todd Neely, as Summit Carbon Solutions CEO Lee Blank spoke last week at the National Ethanol Conference in San Diego. You can find more online. Just go to DTNPF.com. As we take a look at other news headlines here in agriculture, Montana Democratic Senator John Tester and Iowa Republican Chuck Grassley wrote a letter asking colleagues to help assure the strong enforcement of the Packers and Stockyards Act. They're asking other senators to oppose any policy rider in the 2024 Ag Appropriations Bill that would prevent the USDA from enforcing the act to hold multinational food manufacturers accountable. Now, the letter says, quote, four companies control over 80% of domestic beef processing, 60% of hog processing, and 50% of domestic poultry processing. This level of concentration is bad for consumers and family farmers, but good for the giant meat packers, end quote. Now, they point out that the companies have reported record profits in the last few years, while farmers and ranchers struggle to make ends meet and consumers are paying too much for proteins at the grocery store. The letter added, quote, Congress must reject any rider blocking USDA from implementing bipartisan reforms, end quote. While soybean production estimates for Argentina and Brazil, along with corn production estimates for Argentina, were lowered by agribusiness consultancy AgroConsult and the Rosario Grain Exchange. Brazil's 23-24 soybean crop estimate was cut to 152.2 million metric tons from 153.8 million. Now, AgroConsult says adverse weather in key production states is a big reason for the drop. Argentina's Rosario Grains Exchange cut its estimates for the country's 23-24 soybean and corn harvest to 49.5 million and 57 million metric tons. The cut comes after a heat wave in late January and early February. Now, the exchange has previously calculated the soybean harvest at 52 million tons and the corn harvest at 59 million tons. AgroConsult says about 40% of the crops were affected by high temperatures and low rainfall in Mato Grosso, Brazil's biggest farm state. Despite higher than usual temperatures that started in mid-January, Argentina's corn harvest will hit a record level this season. Also, the American Farm Bureau and National Farmers Union have sent a letter to USDA asking for stability in Class 1 milk prices. The letter asks Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack to issue an interim final decision to return the Class 1 mover formula to the higher of the Class 3 or Class 4 calculations as it was before the 2018 Farm Bill. The letter states, quote, dairy farmers remain stuck with the current pricing regulations until USDA publishes a final rule. Current market dynamics underscore the need for an expedited return to the higher of Class 1 mover, end quote. Now, the current Class 1 mover was a well-intentioned but misguided policy that has reduced dairy farmer income, according to the letter by the American Farm Bureau and National Farmers Union. Emergency implementation of the higher of Class 1 mover formula will staunch persistent losses associated with a policy that many say has left dairy farmers struggling to make ends meet. And many say the current formula was based on a quick decision and not demonstrated need. Well, that is a look at news headlines here on AOA Today, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. With the temperature going down, so can your equipment. Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel is built with a balanced additive package to keep equipment moving. Don't let cold weather stop you. Learn more at Cenex.com. Hey, reminder as well, coming up this week, Commodity Classic in Orlando, Florida. We're going to be broadcasting AOA live with our friends at AGI on Thursday in booth 3403 from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on the trade show floor. Again, that's booth 3403 AGI. If you're going to be in Houston, hope you can stop on by and say hi to us while we broadcast AOA live on Thursday morning. We're out of time. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening to AOA.
If you've been enjoying a little too much food, too many sweets, and too much liquid cheer over the holidays, then you've probably put a lot of stress on your liver. A great way to show your liver some love and to detox your system is simply adding Active Liver to your daily routine. Active Liver is an easy and effective way to keep your liver healthy and functioning properly all year long. You can find Active Liver at Amazon.com, or for a volume discount, go to new, NORDICUSA.com, or ask for Active Liver at your local CVS.
Jim was at the laundromat when he heard. His ear said, "Maraca, senor," but his nose said, "Hey, freshest scent ever." Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring Gain scent beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, "Sir, your scent Maraca smell amazing." You could call them scent Maracas, but most noses call them Gain scent beads. Try Gain scent beads, way fresher than detergent alone.
Mato Grosso, Brazil's biggest farm state. Despite higher than usual temperatures that started in mid-January, Argentina's corn harvest will hit a record level this season. Also, the American Farm Bureau and National Farmers Union have sent a letter to USDA asking for stability in Class 1 milk prices. The letter asks Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack to issue an interim final decision to return the Class 1 mover formula to the higher of the Class 3 or Class 4 calculations as it was before the 2018 Farm Bill. The letter states, quote, dairy farmers remain stuck with the current pricing regulations until USDA publishes a final rule. Current market dynamics underscore the need for an expedited return to the higher of Class 1 mover, end quote. Now, the current Class 1 mover was a well-intentioned but misguided policy that has reduced dairy farmer income, according to the letter by the American Farm Bureau and National Farmers Union. Emergency implementation of the higher of Class 1 mover formula.